Thank you for downloading this sermon brought to you by the preaching ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Las Vegas, Nevada, Dr. David Tice. For more sermons in both audio and video format, we encourage you to visit experienceliberty.com. Also, for a word of encouragement, insight, and biblical inspiration, follow Pastor David Tice's blog at davidtice.com. So without further ado, let's open our hearts to the Word of God.
Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. If you did not get one of these, if you'll slip up your hand, our ushers will make sure that you get one of these right now. We're going to talk about prayer this evening. By the way, let me mention this before I forget tonight. This evening, out in the foyer, you can pre-order some fireworks if you like. If you like getting fireworks, we have them available for our members. Our fireworks booth is open today, and all proceeds go towards sending our teens to youth camp. Pre-order your fireworks after this morning's service or this evening's service. And in the tables, there's a table out in the foyer or in the parking lot. You can bring the flyer and your bulletin for $10 off of your order. And you don't have to pay taxes on the fireworks that you buy from Liberty Baptist Church. Now, what the big thing is this. We try to, the cost of camp just goes up every year. And we try to help our students be able to get to camp in an inexpensive fashion. The cost for camp this year is close to $300. I'm not sure the exact amount. Pastor Matt?
It is $300.
Thank you very much. It's $300. So thank you, Pastor Matt. Your voice has changed. But $300, and this will substantially help those students that work in the fireworks booth pay a lot less for camp. So if you could help us with that, that would be tremendous. We're doing what we can to help young people get to camp. I think camp is one of the most valuable tools that is used in the life of young people. More people are in full-time Christian ministry today because they made decisions at camp than any other place. They're there. We go up to camp. You get totally away from the influence of the world, and it's just the Bible and preaching and fun together, good, wholesome Christian fun, and then the preaching and teaching of God's Word and the influence of godly people around your life. There'll probably be somewhere between 150 and 200 students up there, and it's just a great, great opportunity to impact people's lives, young people's lives. And I would encourage you to get your students involved in camp. Help with camp. If you'd like to sponsor a child to camp, you can see Pastor Matt about that. It's $300 or so for camp. Well, we know exactly. It's $300 for camp this year. You can sponsor a child to camp, and maybe a child that couldn't go will be able to go. You can see Pastor Matt, or you can see, well, I was going to say Brad Halverson, but he's gone right now. So you can see Pastor Matt or Kenny Conger, or you can see Richard Moses. Richard Moses is the gentleman that sang this morning. He's working with us for the summer again. And so if you would see any of those leaders, you can even see Pastor Shore. He's always willing to take money, and so am I. And so if you'd like to help us with that, that would be great. You can see any one of us, and we'll be willing to help you with that. Well, prayer. We talked about the problems in America today, and I really believe the honest answer to problems anywhere is prayer. I believe that God hears and answers prayer. God's word, in God's word, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, God told his people, if you are away from me and if you are doing wrong, and I chasten you because of the wrong that you're doing, if I'm judging you because of the wrong that you're doing, he says, if my people, which are called by my name, that in our culture, in our day, would be Christians, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then he said, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. In Jesus' day, the disciples came to Jesus And they said in Luke chapter 11, teach us to pray. Let me read it to you. In verse 1, it says, and it came to pass, in Luke chapter 11, verse 1, and it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. Verses 2 through 13 is Jesus' answer to the request, teach us to pray. If you want to learn, then here's what Jesus says about praying. We're going to look at that this evening. And before we do, we're going to pray. Father, we'd ask that you would teach us, help me to teach your people what you taught your disciples, simply how to pray. And I ask this in your name. Amen. Jesus said this. It says, and when you pray, Jesus said, pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into trials or into temptations, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, his continual asking, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. The other day, Pastor Matt was in Michigan preaching, and so we had Ashlyn and Bethany and Charlotte stay at our house. And we had watched a movie, and I don't know what the movie was. It was some movie at night, and somebody must have died in the movie or something. I don't know. But the girl said, Grandpa, can we sleep in your room? I said, yes. And my grandma actually said, yes. I would have said, go to your room. But they said, can we sleep in your room? I said, yes, you can. And so they were sleeping on the blanket, on a sleeping bag, next to our bed in our room. And about 11 o'clock or maybe 11:30 or I don't know, some terrible time when people are supposed to be asleep, I heard, Grandpa, Grandpa, Grandpa. And I look up and there are 3 sets of eyes staring at me. I said, what? They said, you're snoring and it's really bad. They asked me to turn over, ask and you shall receive. Anyway, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer a scorpion? Of course not. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Jesus here tells us exactly how to pray. He gives us some very, very practical truths, and I want to share them with you in just a few over the next few minutes. First of all, let me ask you to do this. Let me ask you to open up your prayer book to page number 1, where it says my prayer pattern. I want to share with you exactly how I take this and I apply this to my life. Now, I'm not going to tell you this evening what you should do. I'm going to tell you what I do based on this. And I want you to understand this is something that I do every single day. This is what I do. And I want to help you learn how to pray because I believe that prayer is the answer to our problems. I believe if we begin to pray the way God wants us to pray, that we can see things change. But I really believe in America, the big problem in America is people who believe, who say they believe in God act as though God doesn't do anything. But God tells us some very specific things in here. First of all, I want you to see this. You need to have a pattern for prayer. Top left-hand corner of the first page, my pattern for prayer. You will not pray unless you have a when that you pray. Jesus said this when they said, the very first thing that they said is, they said, show us how to pray. And when he said to them, when you pray. You have to have a when. If you're going to pray, you have to have a when. I get up every morning. This morning I got up at 5:30. I got up at 5:30, not because I love the early morning weather. It doesn't matter what time of the day the weather is at this time of the year in Las Vegas. It's not pretty weather. I get up at 5:30 in the morning because I need to get up early in order to spend time with God. I know by the time 8 o'clock rolls around that I'm going to have people demanding my time, and it's going to be that way all day long. I had to, at 8 o'clock this morning, I knew I was going to have to leave the house, get here for 8:30, and then it's all day long. We haven't been home all day. I won't be home until 9 o'clock this evening or later. And so, that's a pattern for my day. Every day it's going to be like that. So I knew long ago that I was going to have to set a pattern for prayer, and that my pattern for prayer, my when, if you would, for prayer would have to be in the morning. Because the rest of my day was going to be gone. Now, this may not be your pattern, but I'm telling you this. Jesus said, when you pray, there must be a time that you set aside, if you're going to have a prayer life, that you set aside a time every day that you pray. Now, you say, what if I set aside a time and then I blow it? It's okay. Look, for the average American, we have a pattern for eating. Some of us have a pattern for overeating. But the pattern is, we have a pattern for breakfast, we have a pattern for lunch, we have a pattern for supper. So we know sometime in the morning we're going to have breakfast, we're going to have lunch in the afternoon, and we're going to have supper. If you miss lunch tomorrow afternoon, you don't say, oh man, I blew it. I missed lunch. I guess I'll never be good at lunch. And so you stop eating lunch. You don't do that. You have a pattern for lunch, and if you miss it one day, you say, man, I'm not going to miss it tomorrow. And you have a pattern for supper. And if you miss supper, you don't say, I give up on supper. Some people have this idea about spending time in the Word of God and prayer that, hey, I got to do it consistently. And if I don't do it consistently, I mess up. If I mess up tomorrow, if I don't get there today, then I've really blown it. I've blown my pattern. No, a pattern is set in your life so that you can know when some abnormal situation takes place that you have a pattern to go back to. So if I go on vacation or if I travel somewhere and I'm gone for 2 or 3 days and I'm flying at 5 o'clock in the morning, I don't say, oh man, I'm flying, I blew it. What am I going to do? The next day, when there's a 5:30 in the morning, I'm up again and I'm praying. You have to have a when. Now listen, the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. We should always be praying all the time. So when a need comes up, we should pray for that need right then. But I'm telling you, for your prayer time, you need to have a time. You need to say, whether it's breakfast, whether it's lunch, whether it's dinner, whether it's before you go to bed, there needs to be a time that you pray. My wife and I pray together before we go to sleep at night because it's the time that works out for us. We set that. By the way, let me tell you this. One of the most difficult things for a married couple to do is pray together. Now, why do you think that is? I'll tell you why that is, because the devil doesn't want you to pray together. The devil doesn't want you to pray together. And so everything else comes up. I have people all the time, I'm talking pastors' wives, who say, my husband doesn't pray with me, or a pastor will say, my wife won't pray with me. Why? Because the devil doesn't want a husband and wife praying together. It's difficult for you to pray with your spouse because the devil doesn't want that, because when there's united prayer, there's power there. The things that my wife and I have prayed for genuinely together, it's amazing to me. I've seen miraculous things take place when my wife and I pray for something together. You need to have a when for you personally. You should have a when for you and your wife to pray together. Okay, so my place of prayer, you should have a time of prayer, you should have a place of prayer, a place where you know that you go. Now, again, something might happen where your place is messed up and you can't do that. When I'm traveling and I'm in a hotel room with my wife, it's different because I like to get out of my room, go into a room all by myself, into a closet by myself and pray, and I can't do that. And because we're all in the same room and you're in a hotel room. And so you have to find a place, but there should be a place in your regular schedule of life that you go to pray. Jesus said, when you pray. Now, let me add something, again, looking down, and I have preached through this before, so I'm not going to take time to go through this in detail, but I want you to see there are some things that you need to do to prepare for prayer. The Bible says this, that we ought to bow down and we ought to worship the Lord. When we pray, we ought to worship the Lord. Now, if you can't physically bow down, then don't. But I want you to know that when I pray, I get down on my knees. In fact, I put my face to the ground. I pray like this. The Bible talks about lying prostrate before the Lord. I put my face to the ground because I want him to know that he is holy and he is just and he is good. And I recognize that I am nothing but dirt. And I tell the Lord, Lord, I recognize you are the God of gods and King of kings and Lord of lords. And you are the master and I am the servant. We ought to bow before him because the word worship, we ought to worship him. The word worship means to bow before him. That's why the Bible says when we humble ourselves and pray, we put our face to the ground. God wants us to humble him ourselves before him. Now, is it necessary? Will God hear my prayer if I'm standing upright? Yes, he will. God hears us no matter where we are. But if we have the ability to bow before him, the word worship means to bow before, and we ought to worship him. Now, that's just to tell him, you're higher than me. I recognize you as the master, and I'm the servant. Number two, you need to enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Tell him thank you for anything. I don't care what it is. If you're just because you're laying on carpet and not on dirt, because you're not being shot at, or because you're alive, thank him for something. You've got a lot to be thankful for. The fact that we are in America is something to be thankful for. Can you say amen to that? So thank him for what he's given to you because he's given you so much. Then praise him. The word praise means to tell him how wonderful he is. It's different than saying thank you. If I come up to you and I say, hey, thank you for being my friend, then I'm thanking you for doing something for me. But that's different than praise. Praise is me coming up to you and saying, nice shirt. Hey, you're looking good tonight. Man, I love your smile. I love the way you respond. That's praising you. You are just an encouragement to you that God wants us to tell him how wonderful he is. I don't know a lot of big, huge words, so what I use is I use songs. The songwriters write down things, so I sing to the Lord all the time. I sing, my favorite song to sing to him is, Your Name is Wonderful. I sing, you know, we sing, His Name is Wonderful. I change the words, and I sing, Your Name is Wonderful. Your Name is Wonderful. Your Name is Wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. You are the mighty King. You're master of everything. Your name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. You're the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God are you. You say, why do you sing again? Because I can't come up with those kind of flowery words. But the songwriter has, and I can sing them to him. I sing, thank you, Lord. I sing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. I love the verse that says, all thy works shall praise thy name. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. I sing that to him because I just want to tell him how wonderful he is. So praise him, sing to the Lord. Sing to him. Tell him how wonderful he is. And then confess your sin to him. You say, I can't think of anything to confess. I don't think I did anything wrong. Well, talk to your wife. She'll tell you. Confess your sin to him. Tell Lord, I want to tell you that I confess to you the things I always, every day, I confess to him that I am selfish and self-centered. You say, I know that's true about me. I'm selfish. I'm self-centered. When I come home at night, I want my children to come up to me and say, Father, Father, is there anything we can do for you? Father, come in here. Father, snore all you want. I want my children to just dote on me. I want my wife to say, I'm here, honey, and I'm yours. I want that. Why? Because I'm selfish and I'm self-centered. And I have to confess that to the Lord, that I'm selfish and self-centered, and I want things for myself. So confess your sin to him. Be honest with God. And then lastly, tell him you love him. Tell him you love him. I love my grandkids. I just really do. Jamie, where are you? Jamie, it's just going to be great. I mean, I remember the first time they handed me Ashlyn, my oldest grandchild. And she was just a baby, and she looked at me, and she just started screaming at me. And I mean, and I said, oh, honey, you have no idea who's holding you. This guy's going to be giving you everything you ever wanted in life. And she has learned that to be true. She knows she can get anything out of me. And I think her dad and mom tell her, no, don't be asking Grandpa, because she's very nice about it. But I just love the fact they just come up and say, I love you. I love you. One of my favorite stories is when I was up in Mount Charleston one time. I was looking for Jonathan. I hadn't seen him for 3 or 4 weeks. And he was only 4 or 5 years old. And he came running by me with a bunch of kids. And I saw him. And I, without thinking, I just said, hey, Jonathan. And then I thought, oh, no. I just embarrassed this 4 or 5 year old. An old man is yelling at a 4 and 5 year old. And Jonathan turned around and he saw me and he stopped and he said, hey, everybody. And they all stopped. He said, that's my grandpa. And then he came over to give me a big hug. I wanted to buy him a car. I mean, it was amazing. I just love to be loved. I love it. I love it when my wife says, I love you. The Lord Jesus wants to hear from you and me, I love you. And every day you ought to tell him you love him. I feel a little awkward going in a room and shutting the door and saying, I love you out loud to God. God wants to hear it. And I'm telling you, when you do this by yourself, alone in a room where nobody else can see you, and you're doing this in front of Almighty God, I want you to understand, the angels are watching. The demons are watching. God is watching. And in the spiritual realm, that realm that you and I don't totally understand, God is receiving glory. And God is listening to what you're saying. And you're putting God on the spot in front of the angels. And you're putting God on the spot in front of the demons. Because God said if you do this, he'll hear you. When you bow before him, it honors him. Nobody's looking. There's nobody around. Tonight you saw me lay down on the ground and worship him. That you might look and say, well, that's spiritual. Wow. But when there's nobody else around to say, hey, look, when there's nobody else watching and you go into a room and you're talking to God, man, that says in the spiritual realm, there's somebody on planet Earth in the physical realm that really believes God. And that's where power is. So those are the things you ought to do. And then Jesus said, look, that, by the way, when you've done that, you haven't prayed yet. And you can do that in a matter of 3 minutes. Bow down before him. Lord, I thank you. I just want to tell you how wonderful you are. Sing him a song. Confess sin to him and tell him you love him. And then get busy praying. The word pray, just like the word worship means to fall down, the word pray means to ask. It means to ask God for something. Or it actually can mean to ask anybody. I pray thee do this. Pray this, pray that. You can watch old Robin Hood movies. He's praying this and praying that. The word pray means to ask. That's all it means. Every time it's used in the Bible, it means to ask. So God wants us to ask. So I've heard songs where people have said, well, God, I'm always coming and asking for things, but today I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to thank you. Well, that's nice that they are thanking him. But God, when we're thanking him, that's not prayer. Prayer is asking. God wants you to ask him sincerely for things. So what are we supposed to ask him for? Well, that's what Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 11. They said, when you pray, say. By the word say means to speak out loud. It doesn't mean you have to whine or cry or bellow out anything. The word say just means to speak out loud. That's important in the spiritual realm. Now listen to me. This is really important. It's important that you pray out loud. You go into your back room, you go into your office, you go where nobody else is, and you get down on your knees and you bow before him and you speak out loud to him. Now, if there is no God, you are a nut. Going into a room, shutting the door, and talking out loud to nobody. You see, that's nuts. My wife was telling me, she was listening to Barack Obama speak on some speech after the Supreme Court decision, and she was listening to him. She said, "Do you hear what he said? He just said religious people need help. That we need help." You need to understand that's how he thinks of us. We are nutty people who need help. That's the president that, Lord willing, will not be in office in a year and a half. But let's get back to prayer. That's something you can pray about. When you pray, you go into a room by yourself alone and you speak out loud. Now, why is that important? Let me explain to you. Demons cannot read your thoughts. God can read your thoughts because he's omniscient. He's all-knowing. But demons cannot read your thoughts. Demons and the devil can put thoughts in your mind. Angels can put thoughts in your mind. Those beings in the spiritual realm can put thoughts in your mind, but they can't read your thoughts. The only way that any being in this universe besides God can know what you are thinking is by what proceeds out of your mouth. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the only way any being knows in the universe what you're thinking is by what comes out of your mouth. So when you enter into the closet to pray, and you speak out loud, of course, God can hear it, but also the demons can hear the request. The angels can hear the request. Those who are watching you in the spiritual realm, not that every being in the spiritual realm is watching you, but there are beings that are watching you, they hear your request to God. And again, that puts God, and I don't mean to see this in any disrespectful way towards God. He's our Father. He's the King of Kings. He doesn't have to do anything, but he's put himself on the spot. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll hear it. And so we put God on the spot by out loud, alone, before him, where demons can hear and angels can hear, we ask him to do something for us. God wants us to speak out loud, to say. And then he tells us what to say. He says, say our Father. That is, recognize that he is our Father. He's not just your Father. He's my Father as well. He's our Father. He's the Father of believers. Our Father, which art in heaven, let your name be holy. Hallowed be thy name. That means let your name be holy. It is my desire that your name be holy in my life. It's my desire that your name be holy in my family. It's my desire that your name be holy in our church. It's my desire that your name be holy in this nation. It's my desire that your name be holy in this world. Let your name be holy. Then let your kingdom come. Jesus said that the kingdom of God is within us. As children of God, we are the manifestation of God. We are ambassadors for God's kingdom. So we're praying, let your kingdom come. Let people see your kingdom in my life. Let your kingdom be manifest in my life, in my family, in our church. Let people see your kingdom coming in my life. Let your will be done. God, I'm here not to do my will, but your will. Let your will be done in my life in this earth, just like it's done in heaven. The Bible says once we get saved, we sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. While you're sitting in heaven, you're doing exactly what he wants you to do. When you're living in heaven, you will be doing exactly what he wants you to do. And we're praying, Lord, let me do your will right here, just like I'm going to do it in heaven. So, Father, in my life, let your name be holy. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this earth, in my body, while I'm living on this planet, in this earth, just like it's done in heaven. And let that be true, not just in me, but in my family, in our church, in our nation. Let your name be holy. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Now, when I do that, I'm surrendering myself to the purpose, for God's purpose in my life. So I'm not thinking about what I want. I'm not thinking about what I can get for me. It's all about his will, his kingdom, and his holiness. Now, with that in mind, I can go to him and I can say, give us this day our daily bread. That is, give the idea there is, give me everything we need to do your will. As a church, we should be praying this. Give us everything we need to do your will. We want to do your will. We want your kingdom to come. We want your name to be holy, but we don't have the resources to let people know about your name. We don't have the resources to advance your kingdom. We don't have your resources to do your will. So give us everything that we need to do your will. Our summer missionaries. Just yesterday, it wasn't the summer missionaries, Keith Malone came into my office. He said, Pastor, can I have your credit card? And you know what I did? I reached in my pocket and I gave him my credit card. You say, well, are you crazy? No, I gave him my credit card because I knew what he wanted it for. He wanted my credit card so he could go fill up the church vans so that they could pick up kids for church this morning. So my will was for the church vans to be filled. My will was for that to be done and all already. So he came in asking me for something so he could do my will. What you need to understand is God doesn't give you his credit card to go out and get yourself a pink Cadillac or whatever it is that you happen to want. Oh, let's see, I want an Xbox. God, give me an Xbox. No, that's not what prayer is all about. Prayer is all about his name being holy, his kingdom coming, and his will being done on this earth just like it's done in heaven. Now, I want to do that. God, in order for that to happen, I need you to provide something. I say, Lord, we want to be able to give the gospel to all of Las Vegas. In order for that to happen, we need facilities. God gives us a building. We say, God, in order for that to happen, we want to have gospel tracts. God gives us gospel tracts. I say, Lord, in order for that to happen, Father, we need to put up a radio tower. God gives us the radio tower. We're asking things that his name may be holy, that his kingdom would come, that his will would be done in this earth just like it's done in heaven. God, give me what I need to do that. Does that make sense? That's how God wants us to pray. And so we pray and say, okay, give us these things. Give us our daily bread. So we can go to God and we can ask him for anything as long as our mind is on his holiness, his kingdom coming, and his will being done on this earth just like it's done in heaven. Then he says, give us this day our daily bread. He says, then pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who hurt us and are in debt to us. Now, at the moment you got saved, all of your sins were wiped away. And in heaven, you are perfectly clean and holy. But you know, just as I do, that as we walk through this earth, we get dirty. We get infected by sin. You somebody crosses you and you just want to, you know, rip their ears off or you get angry or you get jealous or you get bitter or you get anxious and you get worried, you get frustrated and you show a lack of faith. So you need to daily confess those sins to God so that on a practical basis you are pure in this earth the way God wants us to be. So we say, Lord, forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who are in debt to us, that have sinned against us. You need to have a heart that says, I don't care what my children have done to me. I don't care what my mom and dad have done to me. I don't care what my uncle has done to me. I don't care what my cousins have done to me. I don't care what anybody's done to me. God, you forgave me. I forgive them totally. But you don't understand, my brother owes me $20,000. Forgive him. You don't understand, they stole my, forgive them. That's a whole lot easier said than done. Jesus did it on the cross. And if Jesus forgave us, then we ought to forgive others. Can you say amen to that? So he says, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who hurt us or in debt to us. And then he says, lead us not into trials and temptations. People will say to me, in fact, there are songs that sing this, Lord, if going through a trial will draw me closer to you, then let me go through trials so that I might be drawn closer to you. I never sing that song. I don't want trials. I don't like pain. I don't want pain. If I'm hurting, I say, God, take away the pain. If I fall down and stub my toe, I say, oh, God, thank you, but take it away. I don't like to be hurt. I don't want financial problems. I don't want somebody that's close to me to be hurt in order for me to learn compassion. I want to learn that some other way. When I had kidney stones, I asked Pastor Shore and Pastor Matt to come by and pray for me. And they came by. And Pastor Matt anointed me with oil, because the Bible says if there's any sick among you, let him call on the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil, and the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will lift them up. So I said, pray for me. So they came over and they laid hands on me and they anointed me with oil. And they said, and Pastor Matt, my son, he said, Father, we pray that you'll give Dad the grace to endure the pain. And I said, no, don't do that. He said, you're not supposed to interrupt my prayers. Don't pray that. Pray the pain will go away. I want you to know, if you're in pain, I'm going to pray your pain goes away. That's the way I'm going to pray, because that's what I want. And the Bible says that we ought to treat others the way we should be treated ourselves. And Pastor Matt hasn't ever asked me to come and pray for him, because I'm going to give him what he prayed for me. Help him to endure the pain. I don't want to endure anything. I want deliverance. Jesus said this. Jesus said, we can pray, lead us not into trials. The word temptations means trials. Lord, lead me not into trials. I'm going to pray that way. Every day I pray this. I'm telling you that what you're looking at in that prayer list that Jesus gave us is something I pray every day. I say, Lord, let your name be holy. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done in this earth just like it is in heaven. Let that be true in my life, in my family, my church, and my country. Give me this day everything I need to do your will. Give our church everything today we need to do your will. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who hurt us or are in debt to us. Lead us not into temptation, and then deliver us from satanic attack. The word, when it says deliver us from evil, that word is in the masculine gender, and it means deliver us from the evil one. That's from Satan. Satan's against you. He's against me. So we can pray as a church. We can pray, deliver us from satanic attack. As a father, you can pray that for your family. As a mother, you can pray that for your family. As a husband, you can pray that for you and your wife, and as a wife, for you and your husband. Lead us not into trials. Deliver us from satanic attack. I pray that all the time for my family. I pray that every day for my family. Why? Because I want to be delivered from satanic attack. God has protected us and watched out for us, and I believe one of the reasons is because we've prayed that. So that's what the Lord said to pray, but then Paul said that there's certain things we ought to pray for. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 4, he said, pray this, that all men everywhere will be saved. We're to pray that all men everywhere around the world would be saved. You say, well, how do you pray that? Here's how you pray that. Lord, let all men everywhere be saved. You see, really, just that's it? That's it. He said, say these things. He didn't say you have to come and grovel and, oh, I just don't feel like praying, then pray anyway. Because it's the devil that's not making you not feel like praying. Let all men everywhere be saved. And then pray for those in authority, he says, to be saved. I pray for President Obama to be saved every day. The truth of the matter is, Barack Obama does not have a better friend on the planet than Dave Tice. I don't like his politics. I don't agree with anything he does. His actions anger me in the flesh. I can't believe that somebody would actually stand up and be that reprobate that they would justify homosexuality, that he lied to the American people, blatantly lied to the American people. But I pray for him every day that he'll get saved. You say, why do you pray for him to get saved? Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if Barack Obama got saved? He got up and said, I really met the God that I pretended to know. God changed my life. Wouldn't it be a miracle if he did that? You say, could God do that? God could do that like that. He says that people prayed for the apostle or for Saul of Tarsus, the terrorist, and God changed him. And the believers said, we can't, oh, I want to see him. I don't believe this. This is a trap. He's trying to get us. They didn't believe it. Think that that's probably the way we would respond if Barack Obama got saved. Oh, yeah, right. Oh, right, yeah. If Nancy got saved. Right. If California had revival. Yeah, right. You see, our lack of faith causes us not to pray because we really don't believe that that could happen. You need to pray every day for those that are in authority to be saved. I pray for our governors. By the way, it's not just the left-wing Democrats that need to get saved. It'd be a wonderful thing if John Boehner got saved. A right-wing, somewhat Republican got saved. It's a wonderful thing to know that there are many, many godly Christians in the Capitol. But we need to be praying for their protection. We need to pray. We need to pray for those that are enemies of the cross to get saved. Pray for our national leaders. I pray for Barack Obama. I pray for Joe Biden. I pray for Michelle and the two kids to get saved. I pray that Harry Reid would get saved. I got to give him the gospel track. I pray for our leaders. I pray for those in our state that we've met personally, I pray for their salvation. And those that we know personally that are saved, that are in the Nevada capital, I pray for them. He says to pray. So I pray. Lord, I pray for the president and our national leaders. I pray for the governor and our state leaders. I pray for the mayor and our city leaders. And then I think we should pray for our policemen and our firemen and our civil workers. God's using them to protect us. Don't you think that if you were a policeman, you'd want somebody to pray for you every day? When I see a policeman, I shake their hands, and said, I want you to know I pray for police officers every day. You say, how can you say that? Because I do. Are we forgetting to advance the screen? Or did we not get that far? Oh, I probably didn't have you put that on there. That's okay. So I pray for policemen and firemen, and then I pray for our military men and women. Listen, I am so thankful for our military men and women. Aren't you? Can you say amen to that? Amen. These the people who willingly go over and fight. And our military are in a tough situation right now because of our commander-in-chief. I don't know that he has too much respect for them. Pray for our military men and women. Pray for their protection every day. We need to pray for them and pray that God will lead and direct them, protect them. Somebody's protecting me. If I'm going to go and risk my life for somebody, I certainly would like to have them praying for me as I'm going to do that. Wouldn't you? Can you say amen to that? So we ought to pray for these people who are serving us. Then there are other biblical prayer requests. Let me give them to you. Number one, we need to pray as a church that God would fill our church with his Holy Spirit because we can't do anything without his power. We ought to pray that God will make us a praying church. I pray this every day. God, make us a praying church. One of the reasons I'm teaching on prayer tonight again is because I want us to be a praying church. I pray that God will make us a tithing church. This church is only supported by the people who give on a week-by-week basis. We have to be a tithing church or we'll be a church that doesn't exist. I pray that that God will make us a tithing church. I know that if we tithe, by the way, that God will bless us. And so we make us a tithing church. Give us boldness to witness. God wants us to be witnesses. Pray that God will make us bold witnesses, so that God will send laborers into the harvest field. Pray for what we need laborers. There are people that we are looking for, staff members that we're looking for, but we want God to call out of our church people to the mission field to go serve the Lord. That God will send laborers into the harvest field out of our church. That God will save our enemies. Pray for our enemies. We as Christians don't blaspheme and badmouth and criticize and run down our enemies, and we don't attack them. Muslims do that. We pray for our enemies to be saved. We then pray for peace in Jerusalem. Our Jerusalem is Las Vegas, Nevada. You ought to pray for peace here. We are here. We are serving God here in this place. It is our Jerusalem. Pray that God will protect it, and then pray for literal Jerusalem, that God will bring peace to literal Jerusalem. The Bible says they will prosper that love Jerusalem. Then pray for healing. If you're sick, don't just start popping pills. It's an amazing thing. We have a drug-addicted Christian culture. The devil told you a long time ago that you had an ache, and you, in order to take care of that ache, you better go see a doctor. And the doctor gave you four prescriptions because he gets kickbacks for not just one but for four. And so he gave you all these prescriptions, and you're just ingesting them. And we've got a bunch of legal drug addicts in our culture today. You can go to God and say, "Lord, heal me. God, I'm sick. Heal me." Now, I'm not saying that doctors are bad. I like doctors. When I have pain and they can take it away, I want doctors. I remember, again, when going in for kidney stones, I remember going in for an intestinal problem. I was bent over. The doctor said, "What can I do for you?" I said, "Give me morphine." He was wise and didn't, but I'm glad for doctors. But we ought to pray for God to heal us. We can pray for healing every day. Is any sick among you? Let him pray. Is any afflicted? Let him pray. That's what the Bible says. If I'm afflicted, I'm going to pray. So pray for healing for yourself and for others. Enlarge our ministry outreach. We want to reach more people with the gospel. Can you say amen to that? We want to reach more people with the gospel. I really believe one of the main reasons God has given us this radio tower and given us this radio station is because he wants to enlarge our ministry outreach in answer to prayer. And then let your hand of blessing be upon us. If you want to be blessed of God, say amen. Well, we can ask God for his blessing. The next page you'll see we're praying for lost people to be saved, baptized, and grow in the church. We want to see people get saved, and we want to see those that get saved get baptized and grow in Christ. And then we want the power of God in our services. I don't want to just meet together. I enjoy being with you, but I want God to be with us. Can you say amen to that? And I love it when God works in a service like he did this morning. I love it to hear about people getting saved and lives being changed because God worked. Pray for the power and presence in our service. Pray for those people that tithe, that God will bless the people that tithe. Pray for the reduction of our debt through the Graham 1000 Club. Pray for our couples retreat. If you haven't signed up for the couples retreat, you ought to sign up for the couples retreat. You will love the couples retreat. We have several sessions teaching about how to have a good relationship in marriage. You say, "Well, I got a good relationship." Well, come and let us mess it up a little bit, and then we'll tell you how to straighten up it. The couples retreat is a wonderful place. We go to a place called Ironwood. It's in October, and it's cool, and it's beautiful. It's out in the desert, and we have times of teaching the Word of God, and you have an opportunity to interact with other couples. It's a great time. Just pray for the couples retreat again this year. We can only take 35 to 40 couples, so sign up as soon as you can, pray for that. Pray that it'll be a benefit. It's helped so many couples just strengthen their marriage and learn how to deal with their children and each other. Pray for family soul winning and ask God to bless that as we're going out together teaching our children how to win people to Christ. Pray for KEXL Radio or KVXL. I think it's KVXL radio and for the tower and for the staff. The tower's supposed to be delivered July 29th, and we're supposed to put that up. So pray for that. Pray for continued spiritual growth for our academy. God has blessed us with a wonderful academy and a wonderful group of students. And so pray for that. We want to train children. We want to see them grow up to live for the Lord. We want to have a real spiritual impact on their life. And pray for the refurbishing of our building. We're finishing up what we started last year, and we've got a lot of things that need to do. You see the next page says, my family members. Write the names of your children and your grandchildren, your husband and wife, put them down there, and then just pray. Here's a prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, please protect and provide for my family, for my wife or for my husband, and my children, that they'd be healthy and whole physically and mentally, and that I would stay pure, and that they would stay pure and be used by you. I've prayed that for my children. There's 22 in our family now. Charity is pregnant now with our 13th grandchild, and or maybe there's twins, maybe there's 14, I don't know. We can always pray, can't we? But pray. I pray every day for every one of my kids. This is what I pray. I pray for my children, and I pray for their spouses. I pray for my grandchildren, and I pray for their spouses. One of my greatest memories is when Jonathan was over at my house one time. I knelt down, and I prayed for Jonathan. And I wasn't even thinking about it. He was only 8 years old at the time. And so it was time for him to go to bed. I put my hand on his back, and I said, Lord, I thank you for Jonathan. I pray he'll always live for you, and he'll always serve you. I pray for his wife, that his wife will live for you and serve you. And he said, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, what are you doing? You're interrupting my prayer. He said, don't do that. I said, don't what? He said, don't, I'm not getting married. I didn't realize. I pray that so much. I pray for my grandchildren. I pray for their husbands. You say, they're not married yet. But God knows who they're going to marry, doesn't he? God knows who they're going to be married to. God knows all of my kids' husbands and all my kids' wives and all of my grandchildren's wives and husbands. He knows them all. So I can pray for them. Let them be saved at a young age. Let them live for you and serve you all their lives. I pray for those of my grandchildren that are not saved. I pray for them to be saved by name. You say, doesn't that take time? Yeah, when there's 23 of them, it takes time. But I do it every day. Why? Because I believe God answers prayer. People ask me, why do you think your kids turned out all right? And I thank the Lord that they do. People ask, are you proud of the fact that your kids turned out? And I say, no, I'm not proud. I'm not proud of that my kids turned out right. I'm thankful that they turned out right. I don't want to be proud of anything. I have nothing to be proud of. God, in his mercy, allowed my kids to grow up and do right, and I'm thankful for that. But I thank the Lord, and I pray for them every day, and I think one of the reasons they turned out right was because every day I prayed for them, knowing that I could do nothing. If you go to the back of your book to page 12. By the way, that's just a place for you to list other prayer requests. You say, why should I write down prayer requests? Because when they're answered, you can put over there the date that they're answered, and this will be a great encouragement to you 5 years from now. When you're going through a trial you weren't expecting, you can look back and say, look, God answered that one, and God answered that one. Maybe he'll answer the one I'm asking now. Pray, you have the church leadership team. You can see them. There's the list of the pastors. You can see the list of the staff. You can see the list of our lay shepherds and our Sunday school teachers. Pray for them, because Satan hates every one of those names that are on there. If you take a step of leadership in a local church, you need to understand Satan's got your number, and he's after you. They need your prayers. And you don't have to, you say, well, how do you pray through this? So I say, Lord, I ask that you protect Jamie and Marianne Allen. I pray for your protection on Chris and Tiffany Armstrong. She's about to have another baby. I pray you'll protect her. I pray the baby will be healthy and whole physically and mentally. I pray for Jasper. I pray for Andrew and Crystal Baumgarten, Sophie and Ashlyn and Lila. And I pray for Kurt and Linda Braniff. And I pray for Andrew and Julia Brenniger and Ari and Ava. You say, that's all you do? What are you doing? How are you doing? How do you pray? I just ask God to protect them, and I call their names to God, and I ask God to pray for them. I have probably a couple hundred names that I pray for every single day. And you know why I do it? Because God answers prayer. Then there's a list of missionaries. In the back, there's you'll see them. They're broken down in brackets in about 10. I think there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Yeah, there's 10 in a bracket. And that's so that you can pray for 10 a day. So as you're going through this, you pray for 10, and then the next day you pray for 10, the next 10, and then the next day you pray for the next 10. And that way you can pray through, you can pray for our missionaries on a weekly basis, or and get through our missionaries. That's how you pray. Now, why do you pray? You pray because God is real. And by the way, let me say this, and I know I've taken a little bit longer than I thought, but I want you to see this. I want you to see in verses 5 through 10, after he prays the simple prayer, he says this: which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. He from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut. My children are with me in bed, and I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his, now this word is very important, importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And then he says, keep on asking and you shall receive. Keep on knocking and the door will be open unto you. Keep on seeking and you shall find. That's what he says. Now look, the picture there is this. I want you to see the picture. Look at me for just a moment. The picture is that you are here. There's a person, a friend of yours, that comes to you and they have a need, but you have nothing to meet their need with. But you live next door to a man who has all the bread in the world. They need bread. You don't have any bread, but you live next to a friend who has bread. So what do? You go, you see this need that you can't meet. And so you go to your friend at midnight and you say, please give me what I need to meet my friend's need. It's not all about you. It's not all about what you want for yourself. It's not all about what you've got to get. It's that you see a need that needs to be met. I want you to understand. Listen. You and I live in the greatest country on the planet right now. And we live in a country that is in major, major need. It's being led by people who are reprobate. It's being snatched away from us by people who represent the minority, a major, little minority in this country. It's being pulled away because God's people aren't praying. We look at the need and we say, what can we do about it? You can't do anything about it. You can't save this nation. You can't change this nation. You and I can't do a thing. But there's a God that lives with you and walks with you and is alive to you. He's going to take you to heaven. He's just saying, come and ask. But he says, keep on asking. Importunity. Why should I keep on asking? Remember the fact that the demons are watching and the angels are watching and you're alone in your prayer room and day after day and day after day you keep going and saying, God, America needs some bread. America needs help. God, you've got to work. God, my friend is lost. My cousin's lost. My brother's lost. My aunt's lost. My kids are lost. God, look at how corrupt things are. Look at the filthiness and the garbage. I'm humbling myself. I'm praying. I'm seeking your face. I've turned from my wicked ways. I give that up. But God, save my country. Save my president. Save our senators, save our congressmen, save people. God, raise up churches that will preach the truth. Raise up Christians that will be brave to preach. God, you work, because I can't do anything. I look at the mess that's around us and there's nothing I can do. God, please. And when do you stop? You don't stop. You just keep on asking day after day after day after day after day. And God says if you keep on asking, eventually you'll receive. But I'm telling you this, with all the sincerity of my heart, the answer to America's problems isn't another election. The answer to America's problems is not a new Senate or a new Congress. The answer to America's problems is Christians on their face before an almighty God. Almighty God, He can change the direction. He can do anything. But we have to be people that pray. I beseech you today, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Present yourself to God. Come to Him and pray and seek His face. Would you do that with me tonight? Would you, where you are, or if you want to come to this altar right now, pray with me to God? If you can kneel and pray by your seat, would you kneel with me before Almighty God and let's ask God to do what only He can do? Would you pray with me through this prayer list and let's ask God to do something? Would you do that with me right now? I mean, would you stand, kneel, and pray with me right now? Let's pray. I bow before you right now. I ask you to do that which only you can do. We are bowing before you as your people. We are humbling ourselves before you. We are praying. We are seeking your face. And God, we don't even have the ability in and of ourselves to turn from our wicked way. But Father, we want to. We confess our sin to you and we ask you to work. We bow before you to worship you. We thank you for our salvation. We praise you because you're wonderful, you're holy, you're just and good. We confess our sin to you, God, and ask you to forgive us. And we want you to know that we love you and we want to honor you and we fear you. We pray that your name would be holy. We pray that your kingdom would come. We pray that your will would be done in this earth just like it's done in heaven. God, we pray that would be true in our lives as individuals, in our family, in our church, and in our country. We pray you'd give us this day everything that we need to do your will. We pray you'd forgive us our sins as we forgive, Father, those who hurt us or are in debt to us in any way. Lead us not into trials and temptations. Deliver us from satanic attack. God, we pray that all men everywhere would be saved. We pray for those that are in authority to be saved. We pray for President Obama. We pray for our Vice President. We pray for Mrs. Obama. And we pray, Father, for the kids. And we pray for our national leaders, Father, for Republican and Democrat. We pray for their salvation. We pray, Father, for our judges. Father, we pray that you would work in their lives. We pray for your conviction in their lives. We pray for their salvation. We pray, Father, that you turn our nation around. We pray for revival. We pray for our governor and our state leaders. We pray for our mayor and our city leaders. We pray you'd protect and save our policemen and our firemen and our civil workers. We pray you would protect and save our military men and women. We pray as a church that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Make us a praying church. Make us a tithing church. Give us boldness to witness. Send laborers into the harvest. Save our enemies. Bring peace to Jerusalem. God, I pray you'd heal me and others who are sick, Father. People that are not feeling well, I pray for your healing for them. I pray that you'd enlarge our ministry outreach. I pray you let your hand of blessing be upon us. Father, I pray that lost people would be saved and baptized and grow in this church. I pray for your power and your presence in our services. I pray, Father, that you'd bless those who tithe. I pray, Father, that you'd reduce the debt in our building. I pray for the couples retreat, that it would honor you. And, Father, we would see couples learning how to be the kind of couples you want them to be. I pray for our family soul-winning time, that it would grow. I pray for our radio. I pray for the tower and its delivery. And I pray, Father, it'll be set up. And I pray, Father, by September we would be able to have that fully operational. I pray for continued spiritual growth in our academy. I pray for numerical growth in our academy. I pray that our students would grow and be what you want them to be. I pray for our building, Father, the refurbishing. I pray that it'll get done so that these facilities will honor you. Father, I pray that you'll fill our lips with praise. May we praise you and thank you and glorify and honor and bless. Help us not to complain or grumble or backbite or judge or blaspheme. Control our lips. God, be with our families. God, I pray for every one of our families, God, that they would just honor you. May we honor you with our life and our lips. And then we pray for our missionaries, God. We pray for your watch, care, and protection over our missionaries. We pray for your blessing upon them. I pray for the leadership of our church. I pray that you would protect them from satanic attack. I pray, Father, that you would honor yourself in their lives. And God, may we represent you in everything that we do and everything that we say. God, thank you for the privilege of being able to come to you. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to take this lesson on prayer, not just hear it, but go home and practice it. And Father, I ask this in your name and for your sake. Amen.
We hope that message was an encouragement to your heart. Now, for weekly updates and for information about Liberty Baptist Church, be sure to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook at LBC of Las Vegas. Well, that's it for today. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, God bless.